Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Despite affecting 1 in 10 women, endometriosis is still a challenging condition to diagnose and can cause many women to suffer chronic, debilitating pain and sometimes infertility. An estimated 150,000 women in Ireland suffer with endometriosis, but only 2 clinics exist to treat them. Well, we're joined now by Clodagh Lynam, who is chairperson of Endometriosis Ireland, and by Fianna Fáil Senator Erin McGreehan, who herself is a sufferer. And you're very welcome both to the programme this evening.
Thank you.
Clodagh, we might start with yourself first, and for people who aren't familiar with it, can you just describe to us what is endometriosis?
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. First of all, thank you very much for this opportunity. It's really great to be able to speak on national radio about this. Endometriosis is a disease that affects approximately, as you say, 1 in 10 people who are assigned female at birth, so predominantly women, but not exclusively. And it's a disease where the material or cells that are like the lining of the womb implant in other parts of the body, usually in the pelvic region, usually around the reproductive organs, around the fallopian tubes or the ovary or maybe the outside of the uterus. But it does affect other organs. Very commonly affects the bowel. It can affect the sciatic nerve, the bladder, diaphragm, even the lung. And it has, in fact, been very, very rarely found as far away as the brain. But generally, it's in the pelvic region.
Okay.
So, as you say, it does cause, it can cause debilitating pain. And it can also cause fertility problems.
And of course, both of you are very familiar with it because I know both of you have had this condition. And Erin, yeah, for you in the lead up to your own diagnosis, you were in pain for an awful long time before you figured out what was going on. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, it's great to be able to speak about this issue this evening. I suppose for me, in my own personal case, I remember experiencing pain probably like from my early 20s, and it manifested, as Clodagh said, you know, severe lower abdominal pain during my period, along with crippling lower back pain throughout the month, and you know, along with, you know, inflammation and swelling of my stomach, and just a general feeling of pain, and always being aware that I needed to have pain relief with me. And you know, to my shame, Sarah, I never once asked my GP. I didn't connect my gynecological issues with my lower back pain. I put it down to maybe a bad mattress, driving, exhaustion, you know, and I never thought there was something wrong with me. I never thought that this wasn't normal. And, you know, I never thought about getting checked out. And I suppose that's embarrassing to me as a grown woman now, Sarah, but I never thought about it until I experienced that, an unexplained stomach pain, and was brought to hospital. And, you know, to this day, I don't know what brought that pain, because the surgeon didn't know. They said there was nothing wrong with me and with my reproductive system, and advised me to go get my kidneys checked out, get my gallbladder checked out, or my bowel checked out. So then I went to Dr. Google, because I had a gut feeling about what was wrong with me and what was not wrong with me. And I realized that my pain wasn't normal. And I went to a consultant, and he listened to me. He believed me. And I had a laparoscopy with him, and discovered I had, you know, as he described, stage 4 endometriosis. He was amazed, because I didn't have all the normal symptoms, maybe not a heavy period. I was able to cope with my pain. And I suppose that brought me, you know, so many mixed feelings, Sarah, because I was relieved that I had a diagnosis, but absolutely devastated and worried about all my future health options and fertility options, you know, and all those things. So I suppose I'm very lucky. I was diagnosed, but, you know, you still have that chronic pain.
Yeah, well, I'm so sorry you had to go through that. And I also think, you know, you're talking about the shame and embarrassment about not dealing with it sooner. But I think that's part of the reason, like you both of you, when we began this conversation, thanked me for the fact that we're even discussing this on national radio. You know, this is not something that women or girls of our generation were told about. You know, there's no education around it. So for you, Erin, I don't know how you could be embarrassed or ashamed for not recognising symptoms of it, you know, when nobody had told you what it was. And I wonder, Clodagh, is that part of the problem here, the education around it?
Absolutely, Sarah. There is, unfortunately, sort of general education and understanding and awareness among the general public. And it is something that very often runs in families. So if your mother, your aunts, your sister, your older sisters have all gone through crippling pain every month of their period, they have maybe normalized it because they weren't treated properly for it. And so you kind of normalize it as well. But just to, you know, and just something that Aaron said, that was Aaron's story there, makes me want to point up an issue, which is people think that if they know anything about it, they think it's painful periods and that's it. But actually, there's a range of symptoms and they're not always associated with the actual period of menstruation. So the swollen stomach, that's very common. That lower back pain, crippling lower back pain, she said, all through the month, not just with her period. That's very common. And what we in the EAI, the Endometriosis Association of Ireland, really are pushing for at the moment, we've been meeting politicians and we're meeting the minister on Thursday, what we're really pushing for is a diagnostic tool for GPs so that they will be able to recognise symptoms that are considered less typical.
Okay. Well, I really want to get onto that in a second, the idea that there is a tool out there that GPs could be using but that they don't have. I'm really interested in that idea. But Erin, I just might go back to yourself briefly on how you tailed off there. As you say, this can have fertility implications for women depending on how the condition progresses and the treatment for it as well. How did that work out for you?
Thankfully, Sarah, I'm very lucky. I was able to go on and have four little boys. But when I was in a lucky position when I was diagnosed. I was in a relationship and we basically said, right, let's go and try and have children right now, basically. I was also diagnosed with polycystic ovaries. So my consultant would have put me on Clomid, which increases your chances of ovulating and conceiving. So I was really lucky and blessed that I did have my children. They are very close in age, Sarah, you know, 9, 8, 6 and 4.
We so were busy.
We were busy, but we're busy because, you know, when you're pregnant, your endometriosis isn't getting worse. And I was like, I'm going to roll with this and hopefully, you know, and very glad that I was able to have those four healthy boys. But again, if I wasn't diagnosed and I didn't have that unexplained episode that brought me into the hospital in the first place, for me to start being aware of my body, of what was normal, what isn't normal. And it all goes back to what Clodagh was saying there, the education, to understand your body from you know, that shame, that embarrassment that we used to be able to, like, saying, talking about our periods online, on national radio, on TV. It's so important. And segments like this are so, so important. It cannot be underestimated, the importance of even just speaking about the pain and now we do have two specialist clinics, whereas, you know, 2 years ago, Sarah, we had no specialist clinics in this country. And we do have two. We've a long way to go for gynae care, but it is a huge start. And we have excellent consultants heading those two specialist clinics. So I'm very relieved that we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, two clinics for 150,000 women, as you say, nowhere near enough, but it is a start. Clodagh, you might just tell me about your own journey on this. You had difficulty getting a diagnosis as well.
Yes, well, I was one of the lucky ones in that I didn't start to have, I had a son in my 20s, and then I didn't start to have symptoms until I was in my 40s. So having heard tales of people, well, like Erin there in her early 20s, experiencing that pain, and others I know who started, you know, with their first period, they had crippling pain at the age of 11, maybe even. But so I saw several, five GPs as it turned out, because my GP died and then my next GP was sick. So I ended up seeing five different GPs, three different A&E doctors, a gastroenterologist. And I had MRI scans and I even had a CAT scan. Before I started, somebody suggested to me keep a symptom diary, and I started to see there was a pattern that was connected to ovulation. I didn't have pain with my period. I had absolutely devastating pain every month with ovulation, and that was when. But it's an awful waste of medical resources, of healthcare resources, for somebody to go through all of those things where if, you know, a GP maybe, I don't want to be down on GPs, by the way, they do a fantastic job and they work extremely hard, but they just need the tools, they need to be able to get people referred to a specialist more quickly. But it was a friend suggested, actually, that you keep a diary. I realised there was a pattern to it. Then I did consult Dr. Google. Then I went to my newest GP, who was more endometriosis aware, and I said, could it be? And she said, yes, it could.
Okay.
And that was when I got referred.
Yes. Well, I'm delighted you got referred, but as you say, a long journey to get there. And you've mentioned that diagnostic tool that GPs could get, that you're calling for people to have, or GPs to have. Just really, really briefly, Clodagh, is that an expensive programme to roll out, or would it be easy to do that?
Yeah, good question. I'm not entirely sure at the moment, Sarah. There isn't, it doesn't exist at the moment. We're looking at maybe a screening tool. We want to recommend, and we'd like to be involved in developing a screening tool along the lines of the Q-Risk tool that's used for diagnosing the risk of heart disease and stroke. But there is actually an internationally renowned specialist, Cameron Najat, has devised a screening app. Which I mean, and basically the questions, it just goes through a load of questions that you answer, and then at the end it gives you a percentage likelihood that you have endometriosis, and something like that actually
would be very useful. Yes,
would
indeed.
Be very useful. Yeah.
All right. Look, we're going to keep an eye on this, and we will return to it. But thank you both very much for joining us. That's Clodagh Lynam and Erin McGreehan. We'll take a break.